Well, hey friends, welcome to day three of my teaching this week, all about faith and the promises of God. It's great to have you here with me. Pull up a Bible, a notepad, a pen, and a good cup of coffee or whatever rings your bell. I've got seltzer water here today. And I'm going to continue talking about faith today. I'm going to give you a key, a real breakthrough I had in my life a couple of years ago about conquering doubt. I'm going to give you the key to conquer doubt, and I believe it will be life-changing if you apply it in your life. A few quick housekeeping things. If you are new to my ministry, my name's Graham. I'm originally from the UK, lived in France for 20 years, where I still have a home, and I'm now based in the United States. I lead a group of churches here in New England, but part of my commission, my call, and my heart is to teach people the message of faith. And I would encourage you to pray about becoming part of this ministry. We have over 1.2 million people who subscribe to this YouTube channel now. And, you know, really, we have a bunch of people who support what we do now. And part of our vision is to take these messages and put them in front of people who don't hear things like this all the time. I'm particularly concentrated on young men in the Middle East, in Iran, Iraq, Egypt, places like that. And for $10 a month, I can put this video that you're watching in front of thousands of people in those nations. So why not pray about signing up and becoming a partner with us? Again, link below to do that. Lastly, I have a book. I wrote this one last year, and I love that book. I love my own book. I know, it's terrible, isn't it? What I actually really love is the Word of God, because that's what this book is full of. And this book is called The Promise, and it's all about obtaining, inheriting, stepping into and experiencing the promises of God. It's what I'm teaching on all month long. Now you can get a copy of this as a paperback from Amazon, from my website, as a Kindle, or we'll send you a completely free PDF copy if you like when you subscribe to our email newsletter this month. Again, link below, and I know that that will bless you. Good. So let's talk about doubt. I want to challenge you. I believe I'm going to say some really pivotal and key things today that can help you in your journey of faith. Now, this is not my first rodeo. I've been doing this. I've been in the ministry for nearly 40 years now. And one of the things I consistently hear in the body of Christ is people questioning their own faith. I will consistently hear people say, well, I don't know if I have enough faith. My faith's not big enough. My faith's not strong enough. And at least for the purposes of the video today, I want to suggest you stop saying that. I want to suggest you stop thinking in that way. And I really would love to suggest that you look at this, you approach this from a completely different lens, a different point of view. Is it possible? I believe this is, but I want you to consider this for yourself. Is it possible that you have enough faith? That your faith's really great? That you've got all the faith you ever need? Is it possible that your problem is not a lack of faith, but rather you have doubt? That doubt is circumventing your faith? I spoke last week about Peter walking on water, and you know, I think we get really weird about faith. Can you imagine you're Peter in the boat, going through a storm. Jesus is walking by. Jesus is walking on water. That's pretty amazing. And then Peter turns to Jesus and says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Tell me to come to you walking on the water. Peter's like, if you can walk on water, can I come? And Jesus says to Peter, come. Now, I actually don't think Peter stood there in the boat going, what is my faith level? Do I have faith in this? How am I producing? How do I grade my faith on the level of 1 to 10? I don't think Peter actually once thought about his faith. If there was a question there, I don't actually think there was a question, but if there were to be a question in Peter's mind, the question would be, is the word of Jesus good? If Jesus says, come, can you come? Is Jesus somebody who can be trusted? If you're going to get out on a boat, get out of the boat and step into the sea on a stormy night, you really want to have confidence in that person. And I want you to catch this. You see, Peter believed in the Word of God. But Peter believed in the Word of God, in the Word of Jesus. Jesus is God, of course. Because he trusted him. Because he'd seen the results of what God's Word had done. And often we actually need to build a history of faith. My point is, Imagine if Peter, think of it this way, the very first day Peter met Jesus, what did Jesus say to Peter? Let out your nets for a catch. It's a lot easier thing to do to throw your nets over the side than to throw yourself over the side. And even then, Peter kind of argued, Lord, we've toiled all night, and it makes no sense, whatever, but okay. And the Bible, it's interesting, if you look in, it's in Luke chapter 5, Jesus said, let out the nets, N-E-T-S, plural. And if you look carefully, several Bible versions, this is really true, Peter said, I will let out the net, singular. And then a few verses later, it says, the net began to break. Jesus was like, let out every net you have. And I think Peter hedged his bets and let out one net. But the point I want you to see, my larger point is this. I don't think Peter was thinking about, do I have faith? Do I not have faith? I think faith is actually natural and normal. If I called you on the phone and said, hey, I want to meet you at Starbucks at 10 o'clock, I think your default position would be, Graham will be there at Starbucks. Now, you know, I could be late, there could be traffic, my car could, a million different things could happen, but you would assume if I said something, I would do it. Now, if I kept telling you I'll meet you at Starbucks at 10 and I never show up, I'm always late, after a while, my word will not be good to you. And what a lot of us do is we're constantly examining our faith. And I think the issue is doubt. Doubt has a way of sinking faith. You know, we were looking yesterday at Mark 11:24. Jesus said, whosoever will speak to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, he'll have what he says. And I think most of us do have faith. We pray, we speak to the tree, we speak to the mountain, but then doubt hits us and we begin to sink. I had an experience about 20 years ago in Belgium where one night I'm preaching. And at the end, I call people forward for prayer, and I'm just about to start praying for people, and suddenly this supernatural thing happens to me. In my experience, it was what I think is the gift of faith. It's like suddenly my faith went BAM! And I couldn't doubt. I had the most amazing, and I told everybody in the church, everybody will be healed tonight, and everybody was healed. It was incredible. And it was like the Holy Spirit came on me and my faith was a million miles high and everybody I prayed for instantly healed. And it only lasted about 10 minutes and afterwards, boom, I went back to my faith. And fast forward about 18, 20 years, I don't know, whenever. A couple of years ago, I was on a flight out of Boston to, I think it was Tampa, Florida, I want to say, somewhere like that. And my plane's delayed and I'm sitting there in Boston on a Monday morning and I started thinking about that experience all those years ago, about this wonderful experience of faith. And in my heart, just sitting in the plane, I had the window seat, a couple of people next to me, you know, I'm kind of squished in, and I was just saying, Lord, I'd love for you to give me your faith again. I'd love to have all unlimited faith again. And as I'm sitting there, it's like the Lord said, Graham, you already have it. I gave you my faith. I gave you my faith when you get born again. Huh? You remember Galatians 2:20? I've been crucified with Christ, yet I live, not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not by faith in the Son of God, but by the faith of the Son of God. And I suddenly began thinking about it. So, Lord, I don't have a faith problem. And the Lord said, no, you don't. And I said, well, Lord, what happened to me that day? You gave me all this super duper faith. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Graham, I didn't give you any more faith that day. I just took away all of your doubt. And I began like, ooh. So the faith I experienced that day, I have it right now. And the Lord said, yes, you do. Mm-mm. I said, so the problem isn't my faith. The problem is my doubt. And I'm sitting in this plane. I began a journey that day where I said, Lord, how do I conquer doubt? How do I get rid of doubt? And I'll be honest, I'd always had this mentality in me, came from, you know, good faith teaching had been around, but the kind of idea that said, if I can keep working and keep confessing enough verses and keep trying over time, I will get rid of doubt. Over many, many years of work, I'll get to the place where I no longer doubt God. And again, as I'm flying on the plane, I had a second revelation. I didn't like it, but I had a second revelation. And here's what it hit me. I realize that every single time I pray for the sick, the same thing happened. But different things happen, different circumstances, different needs, different people. But every time I pray for somebody and I say, in the name of Jesus, amen, as soon as I say the word amen, doubt hits. Doubts hit me. Come on, just help me with this. Imagine, just fire up your imagination. Imagine some wonderful story where you go to somebody, maybe they're in a wheelchair, and you pray and tell this disease to go and lay hands on them. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Amen. Now, in your imagination, you know, they then rise up out of the wheelchair. You say, rise and walk, or all these kind of things. Can I tell you, in reality, when you actually do this stuff, and many of you know whereof I speak, what actually happens in the real world is as soon as you say, amen, little doubts begin hitting you. What if they're not healed? What if you ask them to get up and they can't do it and they look stupid, or you look stupid, or they get hurt, or they sue you, and a bit, a bit, a bit, a bit. What if the pain's still there or got worse? What if it doesn't work? Doubt. And I started thinking, and literally, every single time I've ever prayed for anybody, as soon as I start in faith, and then doubt hits. And the doubt is so subtle, you hardly see it coming. Suddenly you're like, oh. And once you begin entertaining the doubt, like Peter, remember Peter's walking on the water, looking at Jesus, the wind and the waves, if you will, and then suddenly when he looks at the wind and the waves and doubts, he begins sinking. He doesn't immediately sink, but doubt and faith are working together, and doubt will always win over faith in a way, it will always pull you down. Now, I'm sitting here on my plane on the way to Florida, and I said, Lord, how do I conquer doubt? And I suddenly the Lord said something to me which I'd never heard. He said, I will give you the method to conquer doubt. So I'm going to write this down. You know, what do I have to do? What mountain do I have to climb? The Lord said to me, it's really easy. He said, faith is in your heart. Doubt is in your head. And here's what the Lord said to me, Graham, every time you doubt, it's your rational, logical, carnal mind that doubts. And he gave me a verse, Romans 8, I believe it's verse 7. It says, the rational carnal mind is at enmity or at war against the things of God. It's not subject to the law or the word of God. Neither indeed can be. And I suddenly realized something. You see, we hear the word carnal mind. If I were to say to you carnal mind, you might think sinful, fleshly, sexual, carnal, carnality. What the Bible's actually saying by carnal is just the natural mind. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And here's what happens. Every time you walk on water, or want to, every time you pray for somebody in a wheelchair, or want to, or a blind eye, or a deaf ear, or whatever that is, there's a faith you have in your heart that's real, but there's also a rational, natural, logical mind which is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. And that's the place where doubt hits. And when doubts begin coming in your mind, this doesn't make sense, blah, 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 doubt in the head becomes unbelief in the heart. Beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So I said to the Lord, how do I conquer doubt? And the Lord said to me, it's really easy. Whenever you move in the Spirit, take authority over your mind. There's a little phrase people use in French, often to speak to children. They'll say like, tais-toi, tais-toi. It literally means shut up. It means like zip the lip, just be quiet. And I've learned that if I can pray for somebody, and at the moment I say amen, the moment I exercise my faith, I tell my mind, go sit in the corner and shut up for 2 minutes. You have nothing to say to me right now. I don't want to hear from you. We're not doing logic right now. You're my friend. I like my carnal natural mind. It's great for paying taxes and designing code and answering emails and doing a whole bunch. But right now, you've got nothing to say. Shut up. And I just silence my mind. You know, you can tell your mind to shut up and it will obey you. It won't like it, but it will obey you. And then your spirit rises up. And what I suddenly found, this is my testimony to you, when I began doing that, the amount of people I saw instantly healed skyrocketed. I mean, just absolutely boom. And here's even in talking to people what would happen. I pray for people in pain. And I would say, amen. And then in my own mind, I'd go, and sometimes I'll even go somewhere like think of lunch or just, you know, like think of, it's like I won't allow my mind to think about this situation, this healing, because I know what my mind will do. I'll either tell my mind, you don't get to speak. And here's my point is, if I will still my mind, my spirit rises up, faith rises up within me, and the anointing within me, the power that's residing all the time within me, begins flowing into that person, and the pain begins going down, the healing begins to happen in the body. And I've learned when I pray for somebody now, usually I'll do this for about 30 seconds, I'll just say, just relax. And I relax. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And I shut down the part of my mind which doubts. It's like, imagine if Satan were trying to appear in this room and I switched off all of the lights and I couldn't see him anymore. And it's a bad example maybe, but you can control your mind. You can tell your mind to stop. Again, it doesn't mean your mind is evil. Your mind is useful for something. But that's where doubt is something that happens in the mental realm. And you need to realize you'll never renew your natural carnal mind and train it to the things of the spirit. But you can take authority over it. Guys, I've got to end this. But go back over this video because I've given you some really powerful keys. Excuse me. Knocking the camera. There's some powerful keys that will work for you, Sila. Hey, do pray about becoming a supporter to this ministry. We want to get this word out to more and more people. And encourage you to grab a copy of this book. Again, pick one up from Amazon, link below, or we'll send you a free copy when you sign up for our email newsletter. Thank you for watching, and God bless you.